Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of Keep on Knocking from his series on prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Keep on Knocking.
I would ask that you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And we're continuing on with our series on prayer. We've decided to focus this year on prayer, make that one of our themes this year. We've been doing a series of sermons on prayer on Sunday mornings. As we continue on this morning, we will spotlight the focus on prayer in Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, we read these words. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing else to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open." We want to talk to you this morning about persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer, and the title of our message is, Keep on Knocking. Keep on Knocking. I heard the story about a preacher who had been out preaching and had come home. His granddaughter stayed with him at his house. The preacher was tired, and he just wanted to go lay down and get some rest. So he went in to his bedroom, and his granddaughter began to call him. And as much as he loved his granddaughter, he knew that he needed some rest, and so he just decided that he wasn't going to answer. And she called him and called him for about 5 minutes, and she didn't stop. And he figured that if he just let it go, eventually that she would go away. Then the little girl began and I guess it became a matter of wills. It became a matter of his will versus his granddaughter's will. And he was determined that he was not going to get up and answer. And I guess the granddaughter was determined that she wasn't going to stop knocking. For a solid hour, she just kept knocking. But he was determined that he wasn't going to get up. Another hour and a half went by, and the knock got slower. And eventually, there was no knock at all. He got up out of curiosity just to see where his granddaughter went. And what happened is that She had went and got a pillow and a blanket, and her hand was up against the door, and she fell asleep. I believe that's what God is trying to say to us when he says, keep on knocking. That when we have a prayer request, whenever we are coming to God with something that we want to lift up before him in prayer, I believe that God wants us to be like that little girl. He wants us to just keep on knocking. He just wants us to keep on knocking, and that we get so comfortable knocking that eventually the only thing that keeps us from knocking is that we fall asleep. See, I'm convinced that the reason many people are not getting their prayers answered is because they're not being persistent in their prayer. We give up on our prayers. We say our prayers are not working. We say that I've been praying for this for so many years, it don't seem like the answer is coming, and I'm just going to stop. And I believe that at that moment, God looks down and says that if you don't care enough to keep on praying about it, why should I even care enough to listen to you? I want to encourage you today, keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop. Praying for your unsaved children, don't stop. Don't stop. I heard the story about a lady who got saved and she was praying for her husband. And she prayed for her husband year after year after year after year. She never stopped praying for her husband. Eventually, the lady died. And it was at her funeral that her husband accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. Don't stop praying. Keep on knocking. Keep on storming the gates of heaven. In the parable that we have before us today, we see the illustration of what it means to be persistent in prayer. Jesus tells us about a friend who arrives at his other friend's house around midnight. Now, in Palestine, people would travel mostly in the evenings because during the daytime, the heat was scorching and the sun was high in the sky. And so people, to avoid the heat and the sun, they would travel later on in the day and into the evening. And a lot of times, even though it might be a little bit more dangerous, they would not arrive at their destination until sometime in the evening and at some point late at night. So when this individual shows up on the doorstep of his friend feels obligated to provide a meal for him. Now, back in this culture, it was almost a sacred thing to have some food. You know how it is today. You know, when people come visit, you know, you want to have a little something for them to eat. You know, even if it's nothing but a peanut butter sandwich and a glass of Kool-Aid. You know, you just want to have something for them to eat. And so he felt almost obligated that he had to provide a meal for his guests that had been traveling all this time. And it made things a little bit awkward. It put the man in a difficult situation because here he was, he had to entertain this individual, but he didn't have any food. So he remembers, he said, oh, I got a good buddy. I got a friend that I'm sure that he has some extra food. He has some extra loaves of bread, and I can go and get a couple loaves from him. So he goes to his friend's house. Now, you got to keep in mind, it's midnight. Most people are asleep. They've closed the door. Very interesting process, even back during the biblical days when they would lock the door. You know, we lock the door today, and, you know, we close the door, you know, we turn the lock, and then we have a double latch, and we put that on. And then if we got a chain, we put that on. And then we go turn on the alarm system, right? So we know how difficult it is to lock up our cribs. Now, can you imagine these individuals are trying to secure their homes in the evening, and they don't have all these little tiny technique and devices. They got big deadbolt locks where they got to lift boards up and lift them up across the door and do all the kind of stuff to lock the door. And so he comes in, and he begins to knock on his friend's door. And as he begins to knock on his friend's door, he asked him, can he give him 3 loaves of bread? And the friend says, look, he says that, you know, we're already in bed. And I was looking at the concept that he was talking about here. You know, in these homes, there was big rooms. And there were 2 levels in the room. The first level was where I guess most of the family stayed at during their waking hours. And then there was another level, maybe elevated somewhat like this platform here, where they would lay out their sleeping materials, and they would all kind of get together and gather on this level, and they would go to sleep. The man hollers out. He says, man, look, the door is locked, and we're in bed. If I get up, I'm going to end up waking up all my family. If I get up to come and give you some bread, then I'm going to disturb all these people that are laying beside me. And the Bible says, because of his importunity, the fact that this individual who wanted these 3 loaves of bread, that he just kept on, like that little girl. He wasn't going anywhere. I guess the man laid there, and he was like the preacher. The man said, well, maybe if I ignore him long enough, he'll leave. But because of his importunity, he kept knocking. And eventually, the man got up and came. And not only gave him 3 loaves of bread, but the Bible says that he gave him as many as he needed.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Anchored in Jesus radio family. I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I would like to invite you to join me on a trip of a lifetime. Anchored in Jesus Ministries is partnering with Dr. John Stanko of Purpose Quest to go to Israel in 2018. The dates are April 24th through May 4th. Your trip to Israel will make the Bible come alive in new and exciting ways as we visit many sites where the biblical events took place. For more information, visit the Anchored in Jesus website at www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
As we think about this parable, there's a powerful concept in this parable right here. And the concept that's in this parable. Now, if you read most parables, and check this out. I didn't see this until, you know, I was studying for this message right here. In most parables, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. And what is it doing? It's making a comparison. The word parable comes from 2 Greek words, para, which means alongside, and bole, which means to throw. So what is a parable? A parable is where we grab a heavenly truth and we cast it aside a earthly reality. And so that's what a parable is. But notice in this parable, Jesus does not say that the kingdom of heaven is like this. He doesn't say, I will liken this unto such and such a thing. Jesus busts straight in with the parable. You know why? And this is the importance of understanding this parable, is because he's trying to not make a comparison. Watch this, or you don't miss this, or you'll miss the whole message. He's not trying to make a comparison, but he's trying to show a contrast. He's trying to show a contrast between a human being who can be wearied down to the point where eventually he will get up and give his friend some bread, in between a patient, loving Heavenly Father who loves to hear and loves to answer the prayers of his children. If you'll put up that next slide, there's some powerful teachings in this parable right here. And I have never seen them until I actually got into it and began to study it. Look at the contrast in this parable. First of all, we see that there was a reluctant friend who had closed the door, who was in bed, and who didn't want to get up, who didn't want to come and give his friend something to eat, who felt put out that his friend,
somebody that he had fellowship with, somebody that he had a good relationship, would come to him at midnight and ask him for something to eat. There was the reluctant friend versus what? A willing, oh, a reluctant friend versus a willing God. A God who is ready to just, as the scripture says, pour out on us lavishly. A God who is willing and has all resources in his hand, and he's willing to pour those resources out upon us. A reluctant friend versus a willing God. Secondly, we see that midnight was not a was an inconvenient time. Most folk were asleep at midnight. It was very inconvenient. The door was locked. The people were in bed, and it was very inconvenient. Thank God, there's no inconvenient time for God. You can call him in the morning. You can call him in the evening. You can call him in the noonday, and you can call him late at night. The songwriter said, you just call him, and he'll be right there. You just call him, and he'll be right there. He's always on time. And when we're in trouble, he's right on the double. You can call him anytime. There's no inconvenient time to call on God. Oh, when I was going through my situation, you know, sometimes I wake up at night, in the middle of the night, and, you know, I wanted to pray. And it's good to know that in the weary hours of the night, that we don't serve a God who slumbers or sleeps, but he's always attentive to the prayers of his people. There's no inconvenient time for God. You can't say, well, God, look, I don't want to bother you right now. I know that you might be doing something else right now. But no. You can call him at any time. The third thing that we see is that the reluctant friend was being asked for a slight need. What? Three loaves of bread. The reluctant friend, he was just asking him for three loaves of bread. We have a God who can meet our infinite needs. You need bread? The Heavenly Father got plenty of bread. What is your need today? The Father has it. You can find it in his presence. You can find it in his house. What is your need today? The Father has it. We see that the reluctant friend, he didn't even know who he was providing the bread for. This other guy, he came from somewhere else. And the friend came and asked the reluctant friend for bread, and he was asking this man for bread, and he didn't even know who he was giving the bread to or giving the bread for. He knew he was giving it to his friend, but he didn't know the friend of the friend. Thank God that God the Father knows everyone who asks him for anything. God is not giving something to you through second or third person. But when God gives something to you, it comes straight from his hand right to your hand. We see the reluctant friend was bothered by the request. Look at verse 7. The reluctant friend was bothered by the request. And he said from within, and shall answer and say, trouble me not. Trouble me not. He was bothered. Look, man, you're bothering me. You're troubling me. You know, I've got things in order, and you are troubling me. And you're making it very difficult for me to go to sleep tonight with my family. You are troubling. You are bothering me. But praise God that God is pleased when we ask him. The more, and let me show you something. The more that this man stood at the door and knocked. The more aggravated the guy was inside. The more aggravated he got. Man, will you please leave? Will you please just go away? Will you stop knocking on my door? We serve a God. Unlike the reluctant friend, who just loves to hear you. God doesn't get tired. You might get tired, but God doesn't get tired. And you got to keep on knocking. You got to persevere in prayer. You can't stop. Like I said earlier, I believe the reason that many of us are shortchanged is because we stop and God just looks down and God says, well, look, you don't even care enough to pray about it. You've been praying for your children to get saved, praying for your children to walk with God, and you don't see anything happening. Maybe even in some situations, they start even getting worse. It seems like the more you pray, the worse they're getting. And then you stop. You say, well, what's the use? I believe God just looks down and says, if you don't care enough, if you stop, if you quit, and I know God is a loving God. I know he's a loving father, and he's not going to say this, but I believe that somewhere, you know, in God's mind would come, look, what do you want me to do? If you came and pray for the situation, if you came and continue to pray this situation through, why are you even talking to me? Or why are you even expecting anything? Why are you expecting me to do something? You see, God loves it. You know, don't think that you're wearing God's nerve out. Don't think that when you keep calling him God, 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 God. He said, shut up, you're getting on my last nerve. God, don't say that. God loves it when you call him. That when if you get up in the morning and you pray the prayer, you pray it in the afternoon, you pray it in the evening. God loves to hear your voice, and he loves to hear you pray. You know, people say, well, what about that scripture that says we shouldn't be like the pagans and use vain repetition? You know, that was ceremonial. He's talking about ceremonial prayer. He's not talking about coming to the gates of heaven with your request and just continuing to pray and pray through and continuing to pray as God would call your name. And then finally, we see the reluctant friend actually had an excuse. The reluctant friend had an excuse. Look at verse 7. The reluctant friend, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. He had an excuse. My door is shut, and my children are in bed. Look, I've got an excuse for not coming down there. It's not like I'm just blowing you off. There's a reason why I won't come. But we thank God that God is not a God of excuses, but God is pleased and he delights in answering our prayer. Whenever God hears his people pray, his whole countenance lights up. You know, can you imagine what it must be like to be God? And to have somebody that you don't hear from a mighty long time. It's been a day. It's been a couple days. It's been a week. It's been a month since God heard your voice. As a matter of fact, your voice is a little strange to God because he's not familiar with it. He hasn't heard it on a regular basis. And how that God is just up there and how he must grieve when he realizes that he's not hearing from his children. When he hasn't heard from you, he sent his son to die for you. He loves you, and he wants you to be the best that you can be. And then God doesn't hear from you. And how discouraged the heart of God must be. But then all of a sudden, there's a little rumbling, and there's a little prayer going on. And how the countenance of God must just light up. As he says, oh, that's what I'm talking about right there. My children are calling on me. They're calling on me in prayer. Whereas the reluctant friend was aggravated, God is delighted in answering our prayer. Look at verse 8. We see the persistence in verse 8. We see the persistence in verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Keep on Knocking. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Keep on Knocking, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Keep on Knocking. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Keep on Knocking. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.